All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 289 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca. The game starts now. Opening day in the major leagues of baseball. So you have all sorts of MLB games you want to look at. Of course, NHL down the playoff stretch. There's one playoff spot really left up for grabs. Detroit, Philly, Washington battling for two spots, I should say, amongst those three teams. And March Madness kicks off the Sweet 16 tonight. So get in the game at Betano.ca. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli, sporting his Phillies hoodie. It's opening day. There's all sorts of positivity. This is the year for 30 teams. This is the year.
Are you sick?
Yeah, I got to. Yeah, it's annoying.
Sounds like you just smoked four packs of cigarettes before you.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm Phoebe Buffay from Friends. Remember when she got a cold and she was singing and suddenly she had like a really deep voice?
You're a mocha.
And then it went away. So, yeah, I'm drinking hot water and lemon, Frank, to soothe my throat.
Hot water. Nice. Definitely not my drink of choice. Wow. What a week. Where do we start? I mean, I don't want to give this clown any more oxygen, but I'm still... I can't... We had this question to lead off our show on Wednesday, and it was, what brought you more joy on Tuesday night? Was it Josh Doan scoring for the Coyotes in his NHL debut twice?
Twice.
Or was it Zach Hyman scoring the game winner for the Oilers after all the vitriol and commentary that's been thrown his way? What brought you more joy?
I'm not sure either one did. If I'm being bluntly honest, I thought it was fitting that that Hyman did it. You know, the problem is sometimes you give people who have ridiculous takes, and I'll just wait a second.
Neither one hit you in the feels.
Well, no, the Doan one hit me more for sure. It's the first game. You know, his parents are in the building. You know, his siblings are in the building. You not only score once, you score twice. Like every kid, you know, who plays hockey at some point, maybe, you know, played mini sticks or street hockey thinking they'd be in the NHL. And 99.9% of us never get to the NHL, which is fine. But for those who do, I'm never one who looks at somebody and feels angry or envy when they have success. So, yeah, it's a pretty big moment. You know, the fact that it does it
for some guy in their suite that was tarp off, by the way. I don't know who that was, but
he was Jason Kelsey relative, maybe.
He kept hugging Shane Doan, and I was like, all right. I don't know who this guy is, but I he's yoked and he never has a shirt on.
Oh, well, there you go.
If I looked like that, to be fair, I would also never have a shirt on.
Yeah, well, there you go, right? If you got it flaunted, that's what they
Instead,
say.
Instead, I'm the guy at the beach that wears the swim shirt. So probably enough said, right?
So here, I'll address it once, and I'm not even sure it's worth it. But so Berkshire comes out and he starts his video claiming how, well, you know, the media has a responsibility to tell the full story. And then he doesn't tell the
full story. As if we're pulling the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah. And first of all, there's been articles written about this for years, first of all. He doesn't speak for the media. He speaks for himself and no one else, thank God. But anyway, so if you want to take an actual, you know, look at it, so why don't we talk about some facts about Hyman's. First of all, there's five boys. Only one of them played past junior. So clearly, guess what? Owning a junior team doesn't guarantee you NHL success. So let's just start there. Number two, his dad's owned the team still. And the reason he owns that junior team is he bought it so it wouldn't fold. And since he bought it, 80 kids have NCAA scholarships who come from that team. One of them is his son. So don't try to suggest that the reason his kid made the NHL was because he bought that team. And then if you look at it, he had 42 goals and 100 points in 43 games in junior A. Zach Hyman had offers to play for other teams. He was going to play junior A regardless, okay? Whether his dad bought the team or not. So all of his made up BS, when he talks about wanting the story, he didn't share the story, right? He clearly had a vendetta. And then he brought up, well, Hyman plays with Matthews and now he plays with McDavid. And like,
that's the best part for me.
Yeah.
He's so why didn't Jesse Puljujärvi score 50 goals?
Hey.
Why didn't Zach Cassian score 50 goals? By the way, like let's rewind a step, okay? Like let's say that all these, you know, so-called accusations or things that you believe got him a path to the NHL. Let's just play along and say hypothetically there was some magical bridge that took Zach Hyman from Toronto and dropped him on the ice with the Toronto Maple Leafs for training camp one day. Okay. And he was drafted by the Florida Panthers. And apparently there's some Hyman connection or was at the time to the Panthers. Nonetheless, let's say they dropped him, airdropped him right into Leafs training camp.
Okay.
Do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs are giving a spot in their lineup to a kid because his daddy has money? Do you think that they're going to put him on a line with the best, you know, some of the best players in the world because of his family connections? Like, what are we even talking about?
No. The other factor here is, Frank, if you look at Zach Hyman's career, so I mentioned he had the 100 points in his last year in the OJHL. Then he went to University of Michigan, and like a lot of rookies, don't get a ton of playing time early. He had 9 points his first year in 41 games. He had 9 points his second year in 38 games. He had 17 points in 35 games. Then his fourth year as a senior, you know, he had 22 goals, 54 points. Guess what? None of that has to do with what happened when he was 11 and 12. Hockey is actually a late developing sport. This has been proven scientifically, factual. And Zach Hyman is someone who just kept working and working. When he went to the Marlies, now he's 23 years of age, a little bit older, 37 points in 59 games, really good. And then he jumps into the NHL and all he did was improve every year. Why? Because he works hard. He works on his game, right? Claiming that it isn't about hard work is laughable. And here's my last thing about it. So Zach Hyman is the eldest of five brothers. None of them played remotely close to the level of him. And if you look at a lot of times, kids who are the second or third because they have an older sibling sometimes have a benefit because they got to play street hockey and floor hockey with their sibling. And they got to, you know, they learn to get better quicker. Otherwise, they get crushed, right? Now, there's obviously lots of oldest kids in the NHL, but there's more of younger siblings. And none of his younger brothers, despite dad owning the team, went even to NCAA. But 79 other kids who did from a team that he purchased. So you can be jealous that Stu Hyman has money and invested in a team. You can be jealous about it, but it has no bearing when you consider he was drafted 14 years ago. 14 years later, he scores 51 goals due to hard work in improving his game, improving his skating working on all of that stuff in between. And then the only other thing that I will say is I saw a lot of comments, oh, it's only rich kids who make it to the NHL. Well, again, false. Ryan Nugent Hopkins at 15 years of age, his parents, he had to quit hockey. They didn't have money to play. Then he put, then got in at 16. Look at him, became a first overall pick. Vincent Dejarn, I'm just going over a few guys.
There's
Vincent
a million Dejarn, stories like
yes,
that. Like, and kids Vincent that Dejarn, started late parents, that like,
look. Took a loan out so he could go to college. Because, you know, people think you get a full ride just because you go to college. No, you don't. Only some kids do. And this whole trying to disparage a player and then claiming that, oh, you have a response. No, you have a responsibility, Andrew Berkshire, of actually reporting on the truth.
What I would say is, where was the video for Sam Reinhart disparaging him after his 50 goals? It's as simple as that. Sam Reinhart's dad played in the NHL and became a somewhat well-known stockbroker in Vancouver.
But he didn't buy a junior team, Frank. So clearly that's, you know, that's but the only like, benefit.
But what does that count as a privileged upgrade or a privileged upbringing? When are we going to start attacking the Tkachuks?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hear it or see it. To me, and the reason why I called it out is because there are clear anti-Semitic tropes that are weaved through not just this video, but Andrew Berkshire's feed. I'm not going to stand for it anymore. Done. Over. Calling you out every single time.
Oh, 100%. And I did notice that online, to be honest. It's not like it's somebody that I follow. And I saw a few of those pointed out. And then you realize that, so somebody starts by claiming he needed to tell the whole story and then clearly has a personal bias before the story's even started.
Disgusting.
Yeah, totally is. So,
and the, yeah. And as you mentioned, let's just slag all of hockey media along the way, saying that we're dishonest and pulling the wool over everyone's eyes.
Even
because we're not telling the real story. Tell you the real story.
All you had to do is Google the story. There's multiple articles written about Stu Hyman, interviews in the Toronto Post and other places 15 years ago talking about this and how is it unorthodox? Yes. Does that mean their success guaranteed? Of course not. It's just a fact.
Right? I don't remember one topic that brought the hockey Twitter universe, Twitterverse together like that. Usually everyone's all over the place punching each other in the face. Almost no one agrees. Someone's, you know, people are getting ratioed left and right for even normal stuff that they say. I mean, okay. I just, the fact that this person was so one-sided in the wrong direction, I don't know. You never want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck. Let's move on, Frank. The playoff race, it hasn't changed. There's three teams. And I do want to say a shout out, Frank, to the schedule maker, because I know it's impossible. It's not like they know, but the final game of the season, Washington and Philly, they play head to head on April 16th. And that, who knows, that might come down.
May mean nothing.
Yeah, may mean nothing, may mean everything. So I just like the fact that it's there. Detroit and Washington also play on April 9th. They just played earlier this week. So at least the three teams that are battling for those two playoff spots get a few games head to head. And I think it makes it more exciting.
I mean, I was at arguably one of the greatest regular season games of the salary cap era, covering it. Flyers Rangers game 82 on a Sunday afternoon. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home.
Went to the cup.
And the Flyers got in as the 7 seed because they won that game in a shootout. The team with historically the worst record in shootouts in league history won a shootout against Henrik Lundqvist, of all people. And the Flyers got in as the 7 seed and went to the cup final.
Yeah.
One of the greatest regular season games. By the way, just a personal aside, probably one of the craziest 2-month periods of my life. Think about this run. So it's my first full-time job. Like, you know, I'd been working and been around the Flyers and the NHL for a couple years, but first dedicated full-time job, going to every road game. The run that year was New Jersey, which, okay, fine. Not great. Close. But then the last three rounds, Boston, Montreal, Chicago, three epic cities, three awesome sports towns and great environments. And for 21-year-old Frank, six of the drunkest weeks of his life.
Nice.
Just an absolute work play bender.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So I had a lot of fun. So you'll always remember 2010 where the Blackhawks finished him off.
Oh, and by the way, to start off that trip, because we thought that it would be a short run as the seven seed, discovered in my, you know, even though it's only an hour away, I discovered in my New Jersey hotel that they did not lock the bar taps at night. So you could sit there literally all night.
Really?
That actually kicked off the journey, and we were like, we'll go hard in New Jersey because I don't know. I mean, this run's probably going to end and long summer ahead and whatever. Just
good times. Now, so those three teams, there's not much change. We know the situation between Philly, Detroit, and Washington. So let's change it up a little bit today, Frank, because we have some teams now that their season is officially over. We know that there's really only 17 teams vying for 16 spots, but until you're officially eliminated, you're not eliminated. So we'll talk about some of the teams and kind of do a post-mortem. Let's start with the Anaheim Ducks, who I don't think anyone is expecting them to make the playoffs. This season, they weren't really close. Obviously, Trevor Zegras has only played 20 games. You know, that's impacted their team. How do you look at this season for the Ducks? Do you see this as any sort of progress?
I do. I see this mostly through the lens of the there could be at some point a Trevor Zegras trade, but I see it mostly through the lens of the Cutter Gauthier deal.
Okay.
They added such a significant piece. Can't wait to watch the NCAA tournament this weekend and next. He should play a significant role on a stacked BC team and then step right into the NHL. And when you consider, you know, I think the best way for me to describe this Ducks season is really up and down. They just were missing too many valuable pieces for too long. Trevor Zegras back. He's only played 21 games. You wanted to see him take a step forward this year. Leo Carlson hurt for a huge chunk of time. And they went into it with a different game plan, 45 games played. There have been some bright spots. Pavel Minchukov, I think, wasn't on really anyone's radar league wide and has placed himself there defensively. Jackson Lacombe's gotten in 62 games. I love the way the Ducks are lined up for the future. Carlson, McTavish, Gauthier, Zegras. Troy Terry, he's not really young at 26 anymore, but like, I think they've got the beginnings of a really solid foundation.
Okay. Do you think Trevor Zegras will be a Duck next season?
I do right now because I think coming off of this year, I think the Ducks would be foolish to sell him while his value is low.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't think he's a long-term forever fit in Anaheim. I think there's been a fair, healthy amount of friction there. And I think part of it came down to this RFA deal. And I think part of it is just an internal Ducks belief stemming from Pat Verbeek that Zegras certainly has some tools, but he hasn't put it all together in a complete way that makes him more than one dimensional.
Yeah. The other thing for the Ducks, they've got a lot of good young forwards. They got improved. Like I like Minkoff, right? And Cam Fowler is still a good defenseman, but they got to fill out their defense corps. They got to get better.
They're working on that. Olin Zellweger's there. Minchukov, we talked about Jackson Lacombe.
It's hard to think that it's all going to be youth, Frank, is what I'm like. History tells me if you think you're going to improve your team and it's all youth on the back end, history tells you you're wrong. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I think they've got, you know, a bunch of guys that are trying to work their way through their minor league system too. Look, it's not all going to happen.
No.
In one shot. And the fact that they've got two first round picks this year, two second round picks and three thirds, like this is going to be another big year of drafting. Here's the other thing I'll add is we know that Pat Verbeek is a worker. He's a grinder and he's been that way his entire life. He's also a pretty creative outside the box thinker. Like the fact that he was able to pull off a Gauthier deal without anyone knowing, impressive. The second part is I love that they were at least trying or thinking about doing something different with Carlson. They knew that he played a lot of hockey heading into this year, and they wanted to take it slow. They knew that there was nothing left for him to prove in Europe. There's nothing really for him to prove playing in the AHL. The NHL is the best league for him, but they didn't want to say, hey, you're in for all 82 games, go and hit a wall and get lost to the Wolves. And I like that they were at least open and honest at the start of this year, even if they didn't say why, but they were basically putting a governor on the throttle. And I like that they were willing to do something different that, you know, most teams are like, hey, go ahead and play, kid. Like, get in there. This is about five years from now, building a solid foundation, not just like, hey, go hit a wall at game 65 in your rookie year as a 19-year-old.
Yeah. So now we go to a team that's out of the playoffs, but in a very different situation. You know, the Ducks got a bunch of young guys you're pretty high on. This organization has some young players, but they're a team that's, you know, made some big trades, given away draft picks, high picks, and nothing worked out. The Columbus Blue Jackets, just a massively disappointing season for the Blue Jackets in how it's played out. You know, they are looking for a general manager. You know, we can question if I read Aaron Portzline, by the way, a huge shout out to Aaron Portzline for a few things. Number one, the fact that he is going to get his transplant here. So Porty, mm-hmm. we're thinking about, yeah, that's outstanding. And second of all, he had a deep dive. I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Talking about the whole Columbus Blue Jackets. And there's nobody better than Aaron Portzline to break it down.
He's literally been there since day one of the franchise. Yes. Like a must and read.
When he talked about how, well, it's the same guys that are hiring the GM or the same guys who hired Mike Babcock. And you're just like, oof, geez. So I look at Columbus, Frank, and, you know, there was lots of internal, you know, Jiříček wasn't happy. And they're like, what's this guy doing? Because on paper, you know, you got Provorov and you've got Werenski and you got Severson. Like they've got some pieces there, but my goodness, like what an awful, I don't know, of all the teams that missed the playoffs, Columbus has to be the most disappointing because they miss it by so much and they were expected to at least be significantly more competitive.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I mean, the Sens and Sabres say, hold my beer.
Okay, but this,
they're not the most disappointing team to miss the playoffs.
Right.
But I'll disagree with you also in the sense that I think that they've already got more stacked up than the Ducks. I like the progress the Ducks have made, but I don't know that there's a more intriguing or many more intriguing prospect bases than the Blue Jackets. The problem is the Blue Jackets, A, can't get out of their own way, and B, draft like nobody's business, but develop terribly. Like it's, yeah, like they have not a single clue. So what I would say is, like, on the surface, the fact that they have Jiříček and Denton Mateychuk sitting there ready to roll as, you know, sort of immediate top four defensemen in the NHL. Then up front, you've got Fantilli, Sillinger, and
Kent Johnson. Kent Johnson, you got Horncoff. Who else they got? They got quite a few young guys. But I will say this, Frank. They have to avoid, like you talk, oh, top.
Oh, I really like Gavin Brindley too, by the way. Yeah.
But ask New Jersey how it works when you think you're going to have two young guys in your top four. It doesn't work. History tells you. Here's the thing.
Hold on. You know what doesn't work? A coach that can't see the forest through the trees. That's what doesn't work. When you continue to trot out Peak, Bean, Boakvist, whoever it is that you want to, you know, throw in there.
Okay.
And I know Peak has been traded and still my mind explodes on that trade every time I think about it. Those guys needed to play. You can't have them shuttling back and forth and be like, hey, this guy's a healthy scratch for a bit. This guy's back in Cleveland. This guy's now back up again. Someone's going to need to explain to me the idea that those guys were getting important minutes over those young defensemen. And here's the other thing. So we'll talk about the management search in a second, but Pascal Vincent, I think, deserves a huge chunk of this year's blame. Everything that I heard coming from his viewpoint, just, it seemed lost. 17 days into the season, your first as an NHL head coach, you telling everyone how sick and tired you are of, you know, how old it gets of what you're seeing. Like, what? You were passed over twice for this job in Columbus, and then Mike Babcock gets canned, resigned, whatever you want to, blocked, whatever you want to call it, 4 days before training camp starts. They don't really have a choice but to hire you.
Yeah.
And like, it felt like October, like their season was over by November 15th. It felt like even before then and well after then that the focus was somehow still on trying to win games instead of trying to develop players. And I understand and have said this a million times on the show, this is not a developmental league. That's only partially true. It's a half truth. Because if you coach a team that's that far out of the mix and out of the playoffs by then, guess what? This season has become nothing but development.
Yeah, I can see that viewpoint. You know, they had a lot of injuries were a factor at times. True, I'll say that. But you know, it's funny. People in Boston, they actually like Peak, so I'm very curious to see how that goes. But I just still look at Columbus.
Did you see the guy that still tweets after every game that says it's amazing that Peak got a point today because for the most part he continues to get shelled in chances for and against and shots for and against.
Like, to me, the concern, Frank, in Columbus is, though, like, you know, obviously they have to hope that, you know, Patrick Laine gets in a better space of mind for him personally, not so much the player, just the person that would help. But like, I wonder about, you know, in today's game, you got to have guys that produce, and they had a lot of guys who are MIA offensively.
Have we reached the point where the Johnny Gaudreau contract is a write-off?
It hasn't been good. There's no question about that.
He's leading the team in scoring, but he has 54 points.
Yeah, 11 goals, Frank. 11 goals. It's like $1 million. Just under
Connor McDavid's going to finish with double the number of assists that the Columbus Blue Jackets leading scorer has points. I mean, just for a little perspective.
Yeah. So.
But where I think that's the thing is like, I want to see more growth.
Oh, I look at Columbus like this is a massive offseason for them. And if I'm Columbus, I have to have my GM in place, Frank, right, as week or two after the regular season. There's no reason to wait any longer. That's still not a lot of time to go over everything you need to go to. This is a big year for them. And, you know, and then they also have one big decision at the draft because after the first round, they have to decide. Do we give Philly our second rounder this year, or are we going to wait and give it to him in 2025? right? That's part of that Provorov deal. So, you know, they're a team rebuilding that only has a first round or doesn't have a, well, might not have a second rounder either this year or next year.
This is not a personal commentary, and I, you know, there's certainly a lot of respect for John Davidson and the career that he's had. He's not the person that should be making this hire. It felt like for the longest time he was asleep at the wheel. And I know that he's had dealt with some health problems this year. I think his back has been not great and has had surgeries and whatever else, and has spent a chunk of the year away from the team. But 11 years for Jarmo Kekalainen and one playoff round win, I just, a change needed to happen sooner. One, two, you mentioned the Babcock, the fact that Davidson and Kekalainen were part of the decision to hire Mike Babcock. That should have weighed heavily sooner. And I there's just been this defiance there. And I mentioned this before on this pod, but know it for 100% certainty that John Davidson feels like the NHL bleeped the Blue Jackets, Spittin' Chiclets bleeped the Blue Jackets.
Come on.
The NHLPA bleeped the Blue Jackets. At some point, you need to take responsibility. And I think, and I'll leave it with this, the last point I would make is don't let John Davidson bleep the Blue Jackets moving forward. Because this next hire is a $750 million decision at the bare minimum. And it's going to chart the course of the franchise for the next 10 years, at least, whether that person's in the role or not. And after 17 losing seasons out of 23, as Aaron Portsline pointed out, the fans of Columbus deserve better.
Oh yeah. No question. Let's bring in Tyler Remchuk, and then we'll get to one other team in our postseason wrap up.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ty, how you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. Happy opening day to you. I see Frank's got the Phillies hoodie on. I got my Jays lid on as well. It's always the sign you've made it out of winter when it's opening day and baseball's back on the TV every day. So very exciting to be here for opening day. I do have a baseball question for you at the end of this as well, but it's fill in the blank and it's delivered by DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Nation25. Let's start with this. You guys mentioned there's really only 17 teams fighting for 16 spots in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. And, you know, we're now 20 some days removed from the NHL trade deadline, or almost 20 days on the nose. Let me ask you this. Which team, the team that regrets their trade deadline the most, is blank, Frank?
I'm sure someone's sitting there going, say Detroit. They didn't do anything. What if Steve Yzerman did something? They might have been able to get in. What if he did something and they don't get in? Then what? You've traded away futures for absolutely nothing. I don't mind that they sat out. I would say the team that regrets their trade deadline the most is probably the Boston Bruins, because they had their deadline blocked by Linus Ullmark.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I anytime you say regret, I just think of like that bad tattoo that says regrets. Regret. Like, oh man.
Jay, you got an answer?
Oh, it's a good question. Well, I guess I could take the easy way out and say, yeah, well, the LA Kings would be right there too, because they wanted Ullmark and didn't get him. But I'm going to go and think of teams. You know, some guys have had, you know, good responses right away.
Lindholm in Vancouver.
Well, that was the one, but he's banged up now. But I was going to say Vancouver only because now Lindholm got traded before it. I understand it, but that
one counts as the deadline period.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one to me right now, when you consider injury and you consider how he played prior, yeah, probably Vancouver would be at the top of it. But if he comes back and plays well in the play, like really, it's almost too premature, because I think a lot of it depends on how the guys do in the playoffs.
And how would you grade out Adam Henrique so far?
I think Adam Henrique is kind of being fine. He's not playing on the power play. Basically he's on pace for what would be a 16 goal season in a regular season, 16, 17 goals. He's very reliable defensively. The Oilers don't need, everybody always gets so their shorts in and on about offense. The Oilers went, Kane has 16 games without a goal. Nugent Hopkins went 13 games without a goal. And what's Edmonton? Oh, I don't know. Third in offense in that time. Offense isn't an issue in Edmonton. It's giving up goals. And Henrique doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I will say this. I talked to him and he explained the Oilers play a very different style to Anaheim. And he says a lot of it is like they like to go, right? Where Anaheim was a lot more passive. And he says he's caught in between sometimes of not going. And so he says that's going to be the thing he works on, right? It says, you know, he's very confident he'll get it, but he's found that they play such a different style and they want to go, 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 that it's, you know, you kind of got to rewire how you play.
Maybe one other team that regrets their deadline is the Islanders. I would say the opposite of the Red Wings, because they were already so committed to this core and have quadrupled down. There's not, like, why couldn't the Islanders have been the Caps? Do you think that the Caps are significantly better than the Islanders? I don't. Like, why couldn't they have gotten their act together and gotten hot? Maybe an addition would have helped.
Yeah. What about a team like the New Jersey Devils? Would it be fair? Do you think there's any part of them that regret giving up the two picks for Jake Allen? Or do you think because it's retained and he's got another year, so now they got him for 1.9, that it was fine? Or do you think it would have been maybe wiser to say, hey, let's bite the bullet. We're not going to get in this year. Let's save those picks and just go into this summer with an open crease and see if we can maybe take another shot at Markstrom.
Well, but by the way, like that doesn't preclude them from going out to get someone. I think for me, the Devils' regret wouldn't be the deadline. It would be the fact that they waited so long to do anything. Mm-hmm. They waited so long to make a coaching change. They waited so long to finally address the goaltending. You didn't give your team any runway to actually get back into the race. It felt like, I don't know if it's fair to say that indecision took over, but because I do think they were in the mix for a goalie for a long time, but at some point it's not about the number of calls you make. It's about the business you get done. And it's not being critical. It's just laying out this team probably could have, I think they could have squeaked in. I mean, look at what we're talking about here in the East. Washington and Detroit, we're looking at 91-ish points it's going to be a historically low threshold or bar to get in. Like, Washington only needs to win half their games. They need to go like 500 down the stretch and they're in. Like, that stings if you're the Devils. Like, you didn't clear the lowest bar we've seen in a while. And there's a lot of factors that went into it. It's not as simple as 30 seconds that I just said, but I just think they could have given themselves a better opportunity to do so had they acted sooner.
All right, I'm hoping this next one makes sense, but it's inspired by your guys' conversation last episode about the chaotic first round matchups. And what I want to ask you is one playoff matchup you'd like to see at any point in the Stanley Cup playoffs is blank versus blank. So you can go ahead, pick a Stanley Cup final matchup, pick two teams who you think would make for an awesome East or Western Conference final. Just two teams you really want to see go head to head in a best of seven series this year, Jason.
Oh, to me, it's no question. It's Colorado Edmonton. Fast. You've got elite guys in McKinnon and McDavid going head to head. In 2022, it was an ass kicking by the Avs. They were clearly the better team. It wasn't close. And I think the score represented that. But I look at that series would be one. The other one I would love to see is the Rangers and Florida.
That'd be a good one, too.
Okay. I get it. You went with the local angle, Edmonton, Colorado.
That'd be a good.
No, that's not local, buddy. I said that the other day. Like, which is a better matchup in the West?
I'm just thinking globally here. Colorado, Florida. Stanley Cup final. What a matchup that would be. Two teams, serious size, skill, and speed. And they both, like, Florida can play mean.
Oh, yeah.
The Avs, they're not going to get pushed around. And two goalies, and Bobrovsky's had a good year. And I said the other day, it's amazing that we haven't talked about him more, because this exact week last season, he had a north of 3 goals against average, and Alex Lyon was the Florida Panthers starter. Bobrovsky's got a 916 that he's kicking at this year. Like, he deserves some flowers. But both of those goalies, Georgiev and Bobrovsky, that could be a high scoring series. I mean, take that. Like, there's a ton of other matchups along the way, but I can't dream up a better cup final than that.
Really?
Can you? What are you going to go? Are you going to go Edmonton, Toronto?
No.
Is that your next choice?
Toronto's not making the cup final. Let's be real here.
Seriously, pick a better cup final for me than Colorado, Florida. In pure stylistic play.
Well, I'll say the one team that's been on fire lately, who's not regretting their trade deadline acquisition, is the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, Carolina is looking like they finally addressed their biggest need. And Gensel is adding some creativity and some offense for a stagnant offense, but a team that just lacked a go-to guy. And Kuznetsov's been pretty decent as well. I look at Carolina, man. Carolina could play Colorado. Carolina could play Dallas. I've seen Winnipeg lately. I don't see Winnipeg going all the way to the cup final, unfortunately, but for Jets fans. But Carolina, Colorado's obviously highly entertaining to watch. But, there's lots of other matchups. I like Florida, but I just think the West right now, what about the Nashville Predators? Like, how can you discount them? Like, honestly, winning your division, if you don't finish first in the West, means you're going to get the hottest team in the NHL in the first round. That is going to be a tough matchup.
I don't know. I'm shrugging. I like the Preds. The run has been ridiculous. That lineup in a 7-game series against Colorado is out.
What about Vancouver with Demko coming back, who hasn't played in weeks?
He's going to get in at least 2 games before the regular season ends.
Yeah. It's only 2 games though, man.
I'm not saying Vancouver. I've been saying all year that the West is a meat grinder. So no, nothing's a cakewalk, but I'm sorry. If I'm Colorado, if I'm Vancouver, Nashville's been a great story, but that lineup's not making me quake in my boots.
All right.
UC Saros might.
Roman Josi, dude. If the Norris was only for the second half of the season, he'd be the runaway winner. He's been unreal.
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to go down the if we only played 40 games thing or what?
No, but I'm just saying that's how good he is coming into the playoffs, man. Like, does Vancouver have a, like, Roman Josi right now?
If we only started the season on January 1st, the Sabres would be a playoff team. Like, come on, like, what are we doing?
But the point is, look at their defense. It's all, everybody knows, Frank, the early part of the season means jack shit most of the time. It's who's playing well down the stretch. That's always been how it is.
Okay, but what? That's such a discredit to Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar, who have been excellent from game one.
Yeah, but we're not talking about individual awards.
No, yeah. I get it, but the point being, like, you don't get anything for having a good 20 game or elite 20 game chunk of the season.
I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm saying my point is he now, the way he's playing, he is a difference maker in that series. The way Roman Josi's played right now, you can make a strong argument.
Roman Josi had a 100-point season or close to it. Yeah. And what did he do in the playoffs? Well, how did it help the Preds in the playoffs?
What the hell does the past have to do with anything?
Yeah, man.
But what I'm saying is, you're saying he's played like such a difference maker. He's played like a difference maker before, and it didn't have any impact on their playoff run.
Yeah, different team,
I guess.
All right. I will interject this with a baseball question to lighten the mood, to wrap up, fill in the blank. The World Series winner in 2024 will be blank, Frank. The odds on favorites. I'll give you the top five over on Betano.
I know. I got it in my head. I don't. God, give me the top five in order.
Okay. Dodgers are plus 325, which is insane odds to win a World Series. The Braves come in at plus 450. The Astros at plus 750. Then the Orioles and Yankees at 11-1. Your Phillies sit just outside at 14-1.
I hate the Braves with such a passion. And Spencer Strider and his stupid ass mustache. By the way, stone cold fact, the Atlanta Braves have never beaten the Philadelphia Phillies in a playoff series. Just going to throw that out there. So I'm not picking the Braves, and I do think there's legit questions in their rotation once you get past those top two guys anyway. It's hard to pick against the Dodgers, but I feel like the Dodgers have become the Yankees of 20 years ago. Where it's just like, hey, can you buy another World Series title? Congratulations.
How about one?
What's that?
Is that another? How about one? At least the Yankees won all those years. Huh.
Didn't they just win in 2020?
The Dodgers won in the COVID year. Yeah, the weird bubble playoffs. Yeah,
they've won one. That's all I'm saying. Like, how many years have they spent? And like,
anyway.
Yeah. So my pick would be, I'm going to go with the Orioles. Just outside the box, 101 win season last year. Love Adley Rutschman. Love Matt Holliday coming along.
Matt Holliday's boy.
Yeah, Jackson Holliday. I know he's not starting the season, but anyway, that's the extent of my baseball pick.
Jay, give me a pick.
Now, who I want to win and who I'm picking are very different. I just think money talks, and sadly the Dodgers are going to win. They spent so much this year. It's, you know, and we might have like a Dodgers Yankees final, which I know is great for TV and everything, but it'll suck for the average fan. But
there won't be a Yankees final because the Yankees are going to stink this year.
I'll say the Dodgers win, sadly.
All right. That is a wrap. Oh, quickly. The Phillies over under on Betano's 89.5 wins this season. And my Blue Jays are down at 86.5. Jeff Passan called it the best bet in baseball to take the under on the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And that's not fun to hear. Anyways, that's a wrap on Fill in the Blank, as always, delivered by DoorDash.
Nice. Hey, we'll get to Chicago and San Jose and a few of the Arizona on the next pod as we continue, because there'll be lots of teams here in the next few weeks who officially get eliminated. Those teams already are. But before we go, remind you to get in at dailyfaceoff.com for the Wendy Survivor Pool. The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart for Wendy's. There's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. Go to Daily Faceoff today, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app, and play. And maybe you could win $5,000 in the Daily Survivor Pool. Still in this week, Frank?
No, I lost day one. I took the Nucks over the Kings.
Yeah.
Out again. Only a few more weeks to put me out of my misery.
All you gotta do is
I gotta see where I rank overall in the season. Like, if you're getting like most weeks, you're not getting any points, and some weeks you're getting one. I've got to be like near the very bottom of the standings overall.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing. I actually feel shame with myself.
Yeah. Oh, it's harder than people think. So somebody I know that came in, they're like, "Oh, look, I did it the first week. He got it right, and then since then he hasn't got. I don't think he's got past day one. So." It's more challenging than they think. So there's very few layups as far as picks go. I'll say that.
Well, it's going down to the wire though, because there's two people right now tied at 29 points.
Yes.
I'll give a shout out. Yaidee and Brendan HFX. So I'm guessing Brendan from Halifax. Both 29 points.
Wow, $5,000
on the line.
Yeah. And you do not want to choke.
Only don't a few weeks ago.
Down the stretch.
Number four, Walleye Mom. She's been, I'm guessing it's a she. She's been up there all season long at 26. So she's within striking distance. And M. Potts, 57, is at 27 points. So we'll see. A lot could happen here in the next 2 weeks.
All right. Well, happy Easter, everybody. Hopefully the Easter Bunny brings you some good chocolate. And we will chat with you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some Fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.